In our business, we help people plan for their future. We help them for retirement, maybe disability, or for the premature death of a spouse. Sooner or later, each of us will sit across from someone who has just lost their spouse and realize the benefit of the work we've done. Jan Christensen is one of us. He's a career agent with New York Life. He's a former chairman of the Taggart Symposium. And far more importantly, he's the life insurance agent of Karen Barrow and Lynn Proctor. Karen and Lynn know firsthand the blessings and the benefits of having a trusted financial advisor. We've asked Jan to introduce Karen and Lynn.
Thank you, Mark. It's my privilege this morning, and it's unique because many years have passed since their husbands have passed. So you can fast forward 25 plus years in both instances and hear the rest of the story. Many times we hear the story of immediately after, but today you'll hear the story of a quarter of a century as to what has happened in these ladies' lives. I have been privileged to work with these ladies as their advisor. And I'm going to have Karen Barrow this morning. Karen doesn't talk a lot about herself. She was raised in Utah. She currently lives in South Jordan. She's working full-time as an x-ray tech for Intermountain Healthcare, and she enjoys Dr. Pepper and sewing. And I'm going to let Karen tell you a little bit more about herself, but Karen, if you'd please come up, and we'll let you take over. Thank you.
Thank you. I have to clarify that it's Diet Dr. Pepper. So the neighbors would say that they could set their clocks to the time my husband Paul would pull into the driveway each weeknight. He worked downtown at Mountain America Credit Union. He was a vice president over human resources, so he was involved in employee benefits, group insurance. He had gone to University of Utah and got his bachelor's degree, and then he got a master's from BYU. So when we have those big rivalry games, I'm kind of like, whatever. Takes a little bit of the pressure off. Well, my life all changed on February 6, 1992, when my husband did not come home from work that night. It didn't take me very long to start to worry, because he had been diagnosed with late onset of type 1 diabetes at age 27. So he was kind of a type A personality. He was trying to keep his blood sugar level low enough that he wouldn't have all the long-term problems that you get when you're a type 1 diabetic. And in that process, he kind of lost the threshold of when he would get too low and not have time to eat something before he would black out. So that's why I was worried. Back in 1992, there were no cell phones. I couldn't just go call him and find out, where are you? I did have a neighbor who had a radio scanner, so I went next door and asked him if he'd heard of any car accidents, and he hadn't. I called my husband's parents, who lived down in Holiday, to see if he'd stopped by there on the way home, and he hadn't. I called a coworker of his to see if he had talked to him before he'd left work, and he hadn't. As time slowly crept on, I knew something bad had happened, but I didn't know what. Around 9 p.m., I saw a police car driving down our street. I didn't think much at first, but then it turned around and started slowly coming back, and then I knew they were looking for me. I ran out to the road and kind of waved them down. I said, I know you're looking for me. My husband didn't come home from work, and it's very unlike him. They asked if they could come inside. Well, I've seen enough movies. I know what that meant. So I blurted out the worst. I said, is he even alive? They stated he had been in a car accident and had died. Apparently, he had gotten low blood sugar and had blacked out while driving. We lived in Sandy at the time, and he hadn't even gotten off at the freeway exit, the right freeway exit. Here's one of the newspaper articles about the crash. Motorist dies in crash. Attack may be the cause. Point of the Mountain. A 34-year-old Sandy man died Thursday of apparently suffering diabetic shock while driving southbound on Interstate 15 and then slamming his pickup into a parked semi. Paul R. Ball died at American Fork Hospital following a 6:47 p.m. accident. The accident occurred about a half mile south of the Utah County line when Mr. Ball's pickup drifted off the right side of the highway and struck the rear end of a semi, which was parked in the emergency lane. We believe that Paul died instantly. The front end of his truck was pancaked, and it took some time to get them to extricate him out of the vehicle. At the time of my husband's death, we had a 10-year-old boy, twin girls who were six, an 18-month-old baby girl, and I was about 6 weeks away from delivering our fifth child. We had been married for 12 years. Well, needless to say, the next few months were rough, taking care of a funeral and having a baby. I made it through with lots of help from family and friends. My doctor allowed me to schedule the delivery so I could make arrangements for someone to watch my children. My mom, sisters, and a sister-in-law all came to the birth so I wouldn't be alone. As they were all standing around the head of the bed, my sister-in-law said, "Well, heck, I've seen it from this end. I want to see it from the other end." Everyone laughed at that, and I thought, well, why not? So my youngest son, Paul Casey Ball, was born as his grandma and aunts watched on. As life settled down and started to get into a routine, I searched for places to put Paul's life insurance money. He had had some insurance policies in place as an employee of the credit union. He had also gotten an accidental death insurance policy that would cover both of us. This is the only one I knew about. He had always said, it was for $60,000, and he had always said, if either one of us dies, this will pay for our mortgage, and then the surviving one can go back to work and hopefully make it with not having a mortgage to pay for. Well, that was our plan. So I did pay off the mortgage with that money, which made my in-laws very happy. I think at first they thought I would be moving in with my five children. Needless to say, we were all grateful that Paul had made some financial arrangements for our future. I found a man in my neighborhood who helped me invest some of the insurance money. He did fine at first, but it didn't take very long at all till he would call me and ask me to move the money to another fund. Well, this happened a couple times, and I noticed that each time he was getting a commission again. About the third time he called and wanted me to do this, I said, well, isn't this going to cost me another big commission? He said, no, it's the same kind of fund. It won't cost a commission. But sure enough, he did get a commission of around $3,000. I decided it was time to put my money elsewhere. He asked me why I closed out the accounts, and I said, well, apparently I know more about this than you do, if you didn't think you were going to get another commission. I had lost trust in him. Jan later told me that this was churning my account. About this time, a mutual friend asked me if she could give Lynn Proctor my number so she could call me. Lynn had gone through similar things just a year or two before me. Lynn and I became friends, and I asked her who she had helped her with her life insurance money. She gave me Jan's name as her registered investment advisor. She also highly recommended him. She said she felt he had never tried to earn extra money by churning her account, which was one of my big concerns at that point. I had gone to Weber State College and recognized Jan's name because he had gone there also, and with Lynn's good recommendation, I called him. When we met to discuss what to do with my husband's life insurance, I was a bit nervous after the bad experience I'd had. But Jen was able to explain things well, and it made me feel more involved in the process and had a little more control, maybe. He asked me questions about my income, which basically at that point I was just living on Social Security, which I didn't even understand about that at that point, I don't think. But he wanted to know what my immediate needs were and if I needed more monthly income, if I had any big items coming up that I might need to have some extra money kept liquid so that I could get to it if I needed it. He also explained about risk tolerance. Typically, at a younger age, you can take more risks to help your investment grow, and then as you get older, you become more conservative. He needed to know how much I was willing to risk at that point. I can't remember exactly, but it seemed like I got a little bit of a monthly income at first, and then at some point, I decided that I didn't really need it, and so I would have it go back into the investment so it could grow. Jan has helped me in many ways, and not once have I felt he was trying to take advantage of my investments. First, he helped me get health insurance for my family so we could get off the expensive COBRA insurance that we had stayed on. Then he also helped me get a life insurance policy. I make yearly premiums on it, and at first, I wasn't too happy about making the big premium. But each year, Jan would encourage me, just keep it going, think of it as a savings account. And now, 24, almost 25 years later, I'm very happy about keeping this. I've acquired a large cash value that I could cash out if needed, but if not needed, I have a good death benefit for my family if something happens to me. Jen has over the years had my investments in different growth funds and risk, and now that I'm older, I'm in a lower risk fund, of course. So the first 2 years after my husband died, I was able to live on Social Security with my 5 children and no mortgage payment. I was able to stay home with my kids, which was very important because your kids are going through a lot of changing too after something traumatic like the death of a spouse, or the death of their dad. Janet also early taught me about the black hole, which I'm in now. The black hole is for someone that's young and losing their spouse. Before they reach the age of taking Social Security, they lose the Social Security they're getting for their children and themselves. So I needed to plan for that time, either by saving money or working or figuring out what I would do to make it through these years. Well, as we said, I work as an x-ray technologist. I'd gone to Weber State to become an x-ray technologist. I hadn't worked for the past few years that my husband had been alive because he felt with 3 kids, you needed to, I guess 4 at that time. But once you have 2 or 3 kids, you know, it doesn't really make much sense for mom to go out and be in the workforce. But I did have a career to fall back on. I always kept my continuing education up to date and kept my licensing current. So down the road when I was ready, I went back to work. In 1994, I got remarried to a man named Kim, my second husband. He was a widower of 5 years. His wife had died of heart-related issues. He had 6 children, ranging from age 6 to 21. I had met Kim at a dance, and I knew immediately I was going to marry him. Some people that have had an experience like that with their spouse can relate, but other people thought I was pretty much insane. I found out on our first date that Kim was type 1 diabetic. I cried all night knowing how hard this disease can be. We combined our families of 11 children, all of which lived with us in the beginning. My neighbor figured out that I would wash 364 pair of underwear in a month's time. Reality hit, and we put a second laundry room in the basement of the home we were moving into. Everyone over 12 had to do their own laundry. Laundry was not the only issue having a large family. One day I left one of the kids at a church activity and didn't even realize it till I got home. He was safe and just waiting for me to come back and get him. At this point, Jen helped Kim get a life insurance policy. It was for a reasonable amount and locked in for 10 years. After the 10 years, the premium was going to be too costly. With his diabetes, it was going to skyrocket. So we didn't continue on with that policy, but I started getting a policy on him through my work. Because every year you can up it a little bit without having to have that physical. Well, Kim passed away 10 years ago, October 22nd, 2006. He wasn't feeling good, and I took him to the doctor, who sent us to the emergency room. They determined that he'd had a heart attack. He had an angiogram the next morning. His vessels were so blocked that he died during the angiogram. The doctor said that due to the diabetes, he had not felt pain. He had at some point had a heart attack and not had any symptoms. So Kim died at age 56. It was unexpected and sudden. We had also been married for 12 years. Dealing with grief with older children, I found, was different than with young children. When my first husband died, my kids were little. They had no idea of what it meant that their dad was not there. As they grew, they found out. And now, with my second husband passing, they knew the consequences of not having a dad. So Kim did have some life insurance, and Jan helped me get an annuity with that so that when I retire, and with my retirement and Social Security, I'll also have an annuity to help me out. Well, Jan sometimes gets random calls from me. Just over 3 years ago, my mother had a stroke, and it left her with little memory. I called Jan and said, Jan, I've got to take care of my mom. I need to figure out how I can stay home. Well, it turned out that I was able to hire someone in the beginning to come and stay with her, and then after about 6 months, she was able to kind of be on her own for a little length of time, and then my daughter moved back in, and we worked opposite schedules, so between the two of us, we were able to care for her. But it didn't. It made me feel comfortable knowing that Jen was willing to help me figure out what we would need to do in case I did need to care for my mom full time. My situation keeps changing, but one thing constant for me is working. I've worked now for 18 years for Intermountain Healthcare. I think it's helped me focus on the long-term goals, plus with the cost of health insurance, it's a big incentive to keep working. I feel like having a financial advisor has helped me be more accountable for the life insurance money that I had. I think if you could just think, if I put it in the bank and every time I had a little whim, oh, I need a new car or I need this, you would go get the money and go buy it. and then pretty soon you wouldn't have any money. So I think having an advisor like Jen has helped me have kind of a safeguard of the money. I'm very grateful that Lynn was able to get me in contact with Jen so that he could help me invest this and take care of the funds that I feel like I am, you know, kind of not required, but responsible for, so that it can help me get through my life and my children's. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Lynn Proctor was born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. She graduated from BYU in 1978 with a Bachelor of Science degree. She worked for Wells Fargo in their commercial banking department since 2004, and she has worked for Source One Services from 1995 to 2004. And so, Lynn, thank you, and we appreciate you coming today.
It says, a long time ago in a town far away. I'll give that speech instead. I appreciate this opportunity to share my story with your group and hope that what I have to say can be some benefit to each of you. To begin, I would like to give a little background history. My husband, Kirk, became acquainted with Jan Christensen in the mid-1980s when he was managing the Southtown Mall project in Sandy. Both he and Jan were involved in the Sandy City Chamber of Commerce. Our family had transferred from Denver, Colorado, with the commercial development firm Turnmar, who were the first developers of the Southtown Mall. After the mall was built and had been operating for several years, there was an economic downturn which caused Turnmar to sell the development. My husband was hired by the purchasing company, who within a year declared bankruptcy. The second purchaser of the mall did not keep the management team on board, so our family was unemployed for about 10 months until my husband found a position with the Salt Lake County Tax Commission. We were extremely thankful to have an income once again, but it was approximately half of what he'd been making as a project manager, so we continued to live on our emergency budget. During the 10-month period of unemployment, we survived on savings and a small income that I brought in working nights at ZCMI, big department store. We tried to sell our home, but could not due to the downturn in the housing market. I believe it was also during this time that Kirk bought a life insurance policy from Jan. It was a small one that we could afford at the time. I continued working my retail job until our third child was born in February of 1990. Just a few months later, on June 1st, 1990, Kirk lost his life in a river running accident up in Idaho. He and a group of about 12 people were rafting the Selway River, and although water levels were high that year, the group was experienced and well equipped. His raft flipped in a narrow canyon, and the two other men that were on his boat were able to swim to the shore, but Kirk never did swim out. The coroner figured that he had somehow broken his neck, that maybe an oar had come around and hit him in the back of the neck. And subsequently he drowned after that. Kirk had been a healthy 36-year-old, and his passing was completely unexpected. I was left with three children ranging in age from 8 years old to 3 months old. My initial reaction was to get rid of the house, go back to school, and move in with my in-laws. However, a dear friend advised me not to make any big decisions for as long as possible, so I decided to wait and see if we could keep it together financially. Jan called before the funeral and said he would process the life insurance proceeds and help me to obtain Social Security benefits that were due me. Once the deposits began coming in, I began to keep up the family budget that my husband had so faithfully kept for the 12 years of our marriage. He had encouraged me to be involved and spoke to me regularly about budgeting, so I was not completely lost when it came to keeping a budget mortgage. As the interest income on my investments was lower than the interest rate that I was making or paying on my loan. Keeping my home was one of the biggest benefits of having a life insurance income. It provided a sense of security knowing that my home was paid for, and it was extremely helpful to not have to budget in a mortgage payment. Also, staying in my home created security for my children, and I benefited from the strong base of support from my church. My children kept their friends in school and church, and I was able to ask questions and be assisted by lawyers and accountants who happened to be in my church also. One of the greatest worries at this time in my life was that I would make a bad financial decision. I worried about having enough money to raise my family and take care of their needs over the long haul. Jan was a huge help during this time, assuring me that my income would not only cover my expenses, but also allowed for extras like vacations. I remember him telling me to be sure to plan family vacations, as those experiences are important to family togetherness, especially after the stresses that we were going through. I was able to remain a stay-at-home mom until my baby was old enough to go to kindergarten. So in 1996, I began working full-time in my home and was able to do this until 2003, when I had to go off. Jan was able to refer me to the manager at Wells Fargo, who I ended up working for. I have been with the bank now for over 12 years. Honestly, the most difficult time for me after my husband's death was that first year. You feel like your insides have been hollowed out, and it's difficult to see beyond 1 hour, 1 day. In fact, it was painful to look towards the future, and I avoided it. I was fortunate to find a young widow support group, and it amazed me to find others who had lost their spouses at such an early time in their lives. I also found out that having life insurance was a huge factor in how you fare after such a devastating loss. While I was suffering, it was not to the degree that befell the women whose husbands had no insurance policy. They barely had time to grieve, but had to jump back into the workforce, and so I decided I was done with that program. So here I am, 26 years later, excuse me, and what has happened to that life insurance proceed? Well, as you recall, I paid off my house, so a big chunk went to that. Jan told me that I needed to go on vacations, so each year I let the kids pick a place to go, and that's why we've been to Disneyland so many times. I also decided that my home was my biggest investment of all, so I needed to keep it up, so my life insurance investments went toward home maintenance projects like a new roof, a new furnace, new siding and windows, new deck, that sort of thing. During the time that I was not working, the investments paid for our health care premiums and expenses, which Jan helped me get. But the most amazing thing is that my investments did provide an income to me of $900 per month. This income has gone on for years, and I only recently stopped it when my children have moved out, married, and gotten jobs. That's a lot of income. I withdrew almost $11,000 every year for 20 years, besides other expenditures, and I still have a nest egg today to use for retirement. That's pretty amazing. I give most of the credit to Jan, but I have to think that my careful budgeting helped a little bit, too. Throughout the years, I've met consistently with Jan to discuss my investments and finances. He would call me during the times when my accounts were static just to see how my family and I were doing and to see if I had any questions regarding the status of my investments. If I had a question or concern, he'd set up a time to come meet with me personally and review each account, sometimes suggesting a change or an alteration. Each time we met, Jan would ask me about my financial situation and whether or not I needed more money each month. When I needed a new car, he suggested that rather than pulling that amount out of my liquid fund, that I borrow against my life insurance policy. I would then be able to pay myself back with interest. That appealed to me, and I was able to replace my car without dipping into my funds. Jan has asked me what my risk tolerance is, and we calculated together how much would be comfortable. And lastly, he made sure that I was happy with and understood what to expect in the future, and that my hopes for eventual retirement and travel with my family could be realized with careful planning. Overall, I feel as though great care has been taken of me over the many years of this business relationship with Jan. I know Jan will always make time to visit with me no matter what his busy schedule. Jan's wife, Sharon, makes Christmas candy each year for my family, and I get a signed birthday card. Our friendship has engendered a loyalty towards New York life that I hope will continue. I am proud to say that my children have all done well for themselves. Each has graduated from college and gotten happily married. My two sons served LDS missions and both got their Eagle Scout rankings. And when I paid their tuition for college or for marriages, I always told them to thank their father for having life insurance. Because that's what was paying for those tuition costs. When I retire, I will not be able to travel the world in luxury, but I hopefully will be able to live comfortably and visit my grandchildren. I will continue to keep a tight budget, as it has worked so well for me over all these years. In closing, my main message to each of you is to recognize the value of your products. I'm not the biggest fan of insurance, and I don't like having to pay every month for it, but I am an example of how beneficial it is when you do end up needing it. Don't hesitate to encourage both husband and wife to participate on the purchase of life insurance and explain to them how funds get eaten up pretty quickly in the course of a life, especially when children are involved. Be a sounding board like Jan has been to me and in navigating the complex world of investments and annuities. It's been a great help having Jan always available to advise me on the latest and best way to secure the remaining money in my accounts and hopefully grow them in the years before I retire. Most importantly, be a trusted friend to your clients, because if you have a customer like me, you will end up dealing with her for the rest of your life. Thank you.